Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here together. God, this morning I just want to pray for Mr. Danny. God, I pray that you, as he talks to us, that you just may preach, that he may preach your words, and that we as a congregation will not, it will not fall on hard hearts. We will be, your word will touch us so that we may be more effective in your will and in your service. God, I just pray for Mr. Danny as he preaches to us, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
First of all, I'd like to welcome each and everyone here this morning. Thank you for coming and assembling with us this morning. If you are visiting this morning, you're a visitor here at Riverside, we thank you for coming. You not only honor us with your presence, but you honor God. So thank you for your presence here today. If you have any questions concerning Riverside, get with me or one of the elders or Will after service, and we'd be more than happy to help you with anything that you may need. Okay, for the next two Sundays, we're going to focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the next two Sundays. Now, I know we focus on that every Sunday, and if we didn't, I wouldn't be here. But we focus on that every Sunday, and every day of our lives, we know that we can come to the cross and that we can lay our burdens down and we can find what we need, definitely find what we need there. But every event that has happened through the time of the death, burial, and resurrection, there's a special meaning for us there, okay? There's a lesson that is there for us to learn. So today, we're going to zoom in on Jesus' crucifixion, and we're going to zoom in, and we're going to see something, I think, that we can truly get some wonderful lessons from. Let's look at John chapter 19, if y'all would. Those that have brought our Bibles, we can follow up here. We're going to look at John chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 23. And this is what he says. He says, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless. It was woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that said, they divided my garments among themselves. They threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. Now, verse 25, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And he said to his disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, his disciples took her into his home. Jesus knew that this, his mission, was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked it in a sponge in it, putting it on a hyssop branch, and held it to his lips. Then when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head, and he gave up the spirit. Now, at this crucifixion, I want us to focus in on this. There are many, many people at this crucifixion, probably more than normal, okay? In a normal crucifixion, I guess you had your regulars that would always go to see it. You had people that would pass by that would see it. So you always had a few people that was there, but many would stay away. Now this one, because Jesus was involved, and because of all the hype, because of all the controversy or whatever you want to call it surrounding his crucifixion, there was many, many, many people. There was hundreds at this crucifixion. But out of all the people that was there, out of all of the hundreds, out of all of the ones that we knew that was there or that was there, these scriptures focus on just nine people. Think about that. It only focuses in on a few. And the reason it focuses in on these nine is because they were standing near the cross. What did they find there? Why were they there? Out of all these hundreds of people, there was four Roman soldiers, four women, and we know that John, the Apostle John, was there. How we know? Look at verse 26. In verse 26 of what we just read, he said, and the disciple that he loved, and who is that? That's John. So we know that they had these people, they had John standing there. The focus is on these. And we notice it says in verse 25, they were standing near the cross. What is so important about that? Did we not just sing a song? Jesus, keep me near the cross. If we sing that, and we read, and it's actually, if you look in your song books, the verse that is taken from is John 19. It's where the song comes from. So there's something there, isn't it? There's something important about them standing there. There's something important about why we sing this song. So what does it really mean? And what did they find there? What are we to find there spiritually? This morning, I want you to ask yourself, what does it mean to you? What do you find there? And when you became a Christian, what did you find there? And for those of us this morning that are searching, that are truly searching, we're here for a reason. And those of us that are searching want to find that salvation or that love from God. What do you hope to find there? I know every day when we visit it, we find what we need. We can see and experience everything that we need. So this morning, I want us to see what it meant to these people that were standing near the cross. I want us to see what they got from it. I want to see what we can see from them that we can get. Now, the first person that was standing there was Mary Magdalene that we're going to focus on. And I think for Mary Magdalene, I think for her, it was a place of redemption. If for her, there she found redemption. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says, soon after, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them was Mary Magdalene, singled out here, from whom he had cast out several demons. Now, this woman, I want us to think about it. She had been in bondage of sin for a very long time. She had been in the bondage of Satan for a very long time. And I know that many times people have lived in a sinful lifestyle. And I know as outreach minister, I know people get caught up in that dysfunctional cycle. And they want to get out, but they don't know how. They're looking for redemption. They're looking for a way out, but they don't know how. And you just stay steady, caught up in it. And when you do, Satan is just steady discouraging you. He's steady giving you that hopeless outlook. He's steady bringing you down, and it's getting harder, and it's getting harder to break this cycle. I want you to imagine what it was like for her. We see it every day. And if you would just look around, we probably have it close here this morning. But Jesus came into her life. Think about that. Jesus came into her life. He cured her from her proverbial demons. He cured her. He healed her. He gave her the salvation. He gave her the forgiveness that she desperately needed. And for that, she had such gratitude in our hearts. How much gratitude do we have? Did we just overlook it? Or is it enough to keep Jesus, keep me near the cross? So I will forever have that gratitude. She was there. She was singled out. She was one of the ones. Why? Because she felt the gratitude that come with salvation. How many of us just let it, just take it for granted? It no longer becomes that important in our life. We've taken it for granted. Her, she didn't. She experienced what it was like. Jesus came into life. He delivered her from that bondage. And look at Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, Jesus is telling Apostle Paul, this is what I want you to do. I want you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place amongst God's people who are set apart by faith in him. See, her eyes was open. See, she turned from darkness to light. She turned from the power of Satan to God. She received forgiveness for her sins. She had been given a place among God's people. She was set apart. That's why she was here and everybody else was there. Where are we? We there? Or are we here? Jesus, keep me near the cross so I will always be grateful for what you have done for me. She lived that lifestyle. She experienced forgiveness. But she seen that redemption came with a very, very high price. She saw the price that was being paid. See, people, until we realize what we owe, until we see the price that is paid and experience it in our hearts, will we ever have the gratitude that we need? We will find it at the cross. For us to move out of darkness, Jesus had to leave the light of heaven and come into this dark world. For us to be delivered from our sin, Jesus had to be forsaken by God and take on our sin. For us to become rich in blessing, he had to become poor. I know why she was there. I hope we feel that this morning. I hope we feel that this morning through this season. And I hope we long to draw near. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We sing it. Did we mean it? Did it mean anything to us? For the other person, and we know one of the Marys, we know one of them was the wife of Zebedee. And remember her two sons, James and John. She was one of the ladies near the cross. I think for her, it was more of a place of rebuke. Let me show you. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse 20 through 24. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. She came to Jesus with her son. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in the place of honor next to you, one on the right and one on the left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say you will sit on my right or you will sit on my left. My Father had prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." But when the 10 other disciples heard this, what James and John had asked, they were very indignant. Now you see, she approached Jesus gratefully, didn't she? On her knees, respectfully. And she asked for her sons to be placed in a position high. No pride anywhere, right? No pride, no selfishness anywhere, was it? Respectfully, she got on her knees and asked Jesus a selfish request. None of us has ever done that, right? None of us has ever asked for worldly gain and not spiritual gain. How many times have we approached the throne very disrespectfully? When she came there, she found rebuke. And her sons did taste that bitter cup, if y'all remember. One died a martyr, and the other one was actually bald and all. And lived in exile of course he wrote Revelation, but he lived in exile on an island. But I know as she was there, I know that she felt, and as she was there, I know that she felt that remorse of the selfishness that she asked. And so many times we want what Jesus has, but we don't want to suffer. We want it, but we don't want to sacrifice. And I think that's what in her selfishness, and sometimes as we go through that, I hope we feel rebuke sometimes when we approach the cross for the selfishness that we ask sometimes, but respectfully on my knees. And I hope sometimes we feel that. And I hope it helps to bring us closer to God. Jesus, keep me near the cross so I will be humble. Jesus, keep me near the cross so I won't be so prideful and I won't be so arrogant. And I remember what it's really all about. Now for John, the Apostle John, I think it was several things involved for him. I think for him, he found several things near the cross. And I think the first thing that he did, I think for him, it was a place of restoration. And the reason I think it was a place of restoration, if you remember, right before this event took place, they was in the garden with Jesus, remember? And Jesus said, "Don't fall asleep." He said, "Stay awake and pray so you will not fall into temptation." What did John do? He gave in to the flesh. And he fell asleep. When trouble broke loose, he ran. Didn't back Jesus up, didn't stay there with him. He just walked away from Jesus, just as calmly as could be. Turned his back on Jesus. How many times has that happened in our life, or maybe people's life, or we may be dealing with that today, where we've just totally walked away from God? But it's okay. Because the cross is a place of redemption. It's a place to be restored. John knew that. John felt that because he came back to the cross. He showed us it was okay to come back, didn't he? So we too may have forsaken God and Jesus, and we may have walked away. It doesn't matter what you've done, because the cross is a place of forgiveness. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of restoration. Now, for John, it probably wasn't the safest place to be. If he'd have been caught there, he probably would have gotten some serious trouble. The other disciples, they may have been there. I don't know. They're probably hiding. They probably didn't want to be seen. They was probably off somewhere hiding, or if they was even in among the crowd. But it focuses out John for a special reason, right? And we know that for him to leave the comfort of wherever he was hiding, it took courage to do that, didn't it? It took courage. Now, for us to come to the cross, it takes courage to get up out of our comfortable seat and to walk forward. That takes courage, doesn't it? You know, I've seen people grip the seats to their knuckles turn white, not wanting to give in, because it takes courage to come back to the cross. I've seen people drift away. You know, Romans 8:12-2 says, take heed that you do not drift away. So apparently that's a common thing, isn't it? It's something that happens. So we may have drifted away. But, you know, John showed us it's okay. He showed us that it's okay to come back. I know how I know. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. John wrote this, the same one that walked away from Jesus. The same one that came back to the cross. You know what he found there? He was restored. You know why? Look what he wrote. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. He wrote that from his heart, didn't he? He was able to write those words from his heart with feeling, with meaning, to let us know it's okay. If you have walked away, you can be restored once again at the cross. I think the other place it was for John, I think it was a place of understanding. I think it was a place where he come and was able to understand. I mean, many times him and the disciples sat at Jesus' feet. How many times did they sit and listen to him teach? How many times did they listen to him preach? How many times did they listen to the parables that he taught? Okay? How many times did they not understand what he was saying? Of course, it wasn't time, but how many times? When they sat for the Lord's Supper, and he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body, you think they really understood what he meant? He took the cup, he said, this is my blood, which will be given to you. You think he really knew what that meant? But when he came to the cross, when he seen the blood dripping, he knew what it meant. For him, it was a place of learning, place of knowledge. For us too, the same thing. Jesus, keep me near the cross so I can grow in knowledge. I know once I truly was convicted, and I was raised in a home where we was taught to read our Bible. We was taught to know our Bible. I read my Bible, but I never understood it. I listened, but I never heard. Many, many times. And I think for them as well. But when I truly came to the cross, I started to learn. I started to understand what Jesus wanted. I started to understand what salvation was all about. I started to learn his teachings. I started to learn what parables meant. And it's coming to the cross. And I think for him too, he was able to understand. It was a place he grew in knowledge. It was a place that he learned to grow in wisdom. Also, the third thing I think that John got from this, I think it was also a place of change for him. Third, it was a place of change. Look what he wrote in Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to the Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven and just burn them all up? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. See, John had prejudice in his heart, and John had anger in his heart. Even though he was following Jesus, John had other things on his mind. Think about this. He wants to call down fire and destroy a whole race of people. But yet, he's known as the apostle of love. Because at the cross was a place of change, people. And that's what's wrong with the world today. I truly believe. When the world learns to come to the cross, all of that hate will change. All that that's in your heart will change. Why? Because it's a place of change. It was for John. He changed from that to an apostle of love. Totally opposite, isn't it? And that's what we expect to gain from that. Opposite of how we are or how we were. That's what he found there. Jesus, keep me near the cross so I can stay strong. Jesus, keep me near the cross so I can learn to love. Jesus, keep me near the cross so I can change from darkness to light. John found that there. It's the same thing we'll find. These people were singled out for us to see this. These people were singled out so we can learn this, so we can know this. We too can change forever. He changed forever. We too can change forever. We come near the cross. Further away keeps us nowhere, doesn't it? Events in the Bible happen for a reason, people. I see nothing but change. I see nothing but good. I haven't seen anything to detect me away yet, have we? The other ones we want to focus on. The other group that was there were the Roman soldiers. What about them? It said it was four Roman soldiers. For them, it meant absolutely nothing. You know why? Because they was there out of obligation. They was there because they had to be. They didn't want to be there. For them, it meant nothing. For us this morning, what does it mean? It means nothing? Are you here out of obligation? Are we here because that's where we're supposed to be? Is it a place that we should be, but I don't want to be? If it is, it means totally nothing to you. Just like the Romans. So, you know, realize that out of all the people that's mentioned here, they were the closest, but yet the furthest away. Think about that. How many times are we close, but yet you're the furthest one away? You can find the redemption. You can find it. John told us you confess your sins. He said, I know you can find forgiveness there. And if that's how we feel this morning, we can come and we can find the forgiveness that we need. All these events, people, mean something to us. Next week, we're going to look at from the crucifixion all the way to the resurrection. We're going to see what lessons we find there. And you know why? Because all of that together means something. All of it together, put together, has a simple meaning. And the simple meaning is, he died for the undeserving, and he rose before those and showed himself to those who are undeserving. That's what it's all about. People, let's not lose our focus. Let's stay as near the cross as we can. This morning, if you have a need, if you're searching and you have a spiritual need, come forward and we can pray with you. We'll lay hands on you right here and we'll pray for you. And we'll lift you up. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus Christ as a Savior, the waters of baptism wait. And from there, let's get involved with life groups and let's get involved with our discipleship groups and let's get involved with someone that can help us to grow. Let us grow from this. But this morning, if we have any need at all, you're welcome to come. No one is singled out. Every need is a need. A need is relevant. It's always for everyone. No one will look at you. Keep me near the cross, Jesus. I need it. Think about that this morning and follow your heart as we stand and as Will leads us in the invitation song. When